Welcome to the Art Scene, presented each week by UA Little Rock Public Radio. Arkansas Repertory Theatre has had a very interesting 2 years. After Bob Hupp in 2016 served notice he was retiring as Rep's Artistic Director, completing the current season, 15-16, till the end of June, and moving to New York State. He left a carefully planned season for whomever was selected to succeed him, all of which followed in order, and John Miller Stephanie, a theatre man par excellence from the Guthrie Theatre in Minneapolis, was chosen. And in the meantime, Bob Hupp had asked Cliff Baker, Rep's retired founding artistic director, to act as interim artistic director. So now, with the 2017-18 season already announced, John Miller Stephanie's first. He is my guest. And my first question was as to his feelings and what he had in mind from the beginning.
Well, at first, of course, there was a little bit of sadness in that I wouldn't have the opportunity to program for some months. In retrospect, I think that was a very good thing because it allowed me the opportunity to get to know the organization as well as the community. And the Rep exists to provide this community with quality live theater. And so it was a very good thing, in fact, that I had an opportunity to get to know a little bit more about Little Rock before making some decisions. And the other piece of the equation, which is a given, is the Rep is the only professional theater in Little Rock, and in fact, the only theater of its kind for some 300 miles around. So therefore, there's this responsibility, as it were, to be all things to all people. And one of the reasons, of course, I was so delighted to be offered the opportunity to lead this theater is because my tastes are very broad. And it just tickled me to have this professional theater where it was very customary to mount a production of Mary Poppins after a production of Macbeth. In the Twin Cities, where I spent a good deal of my professional life, there were many professional theaters, and some of them had very clear mandates as to what their repertoire should be. And here, the Rep needs to do a wide swath of work. So in thinking about this year, I'm building on a happy tradition of a varied program, and yet I felt that I wanted to push the envelope a little bit more. I felt it necessary to perhaps go places slightly unexplored in recent years. So the programming is very much in keeping with the Rep's values and the Rep's mission. But we are doing some really, I believe, new and exciting things.
And so when you're putting these ideas together, you have sort of, what are two pillars? First of all, what do I open with?
Yes.
And how do I close
right.
for the season? And then sometimes when you get that far, it begins to fall into place as the ideas come, and you find that it's becoming a sequence that's satisfying.
Mm. I surely wanted to program a big splashy musical because those are very popular with Rep audiences. And I happen to love the musical format. I've directed many, many musicals. At the Guthrie, I was more or less the musical theater guy. So they're very near and dear to my heart. So I knew that we wanted to do a couple of musicals at least. And I also knew that I wanted to start the season with a Southern story. I have never lived in the South. I grew up in the Northeast and spent almost 20 years in the Upper Midwest. But I've always had this great affection for Southern writers. There are, of course, a number of wonderful traditions in terms of American literature. There's the New England school, and then there's the Southern school of authors. And here I am in the South, and I have a deep love for Southern writers. So I thought, let's start with a story by a Southern writer about the South. And that was one of my primary thoughts immediately. And the other thought that, of course, is a big, as you mentioned, pillars. The Holiday Show is a very important piece of the puzzle, because the holidays are a time when so many people think of seeing a play at the Rep. And it has been a bit of an event. So I wanted to make certain that we also had over the holidays something that was very festive and seemed like an event. So there are all sorts of things going through my mind, and putting the pieces together was challenging but fun too.
And the children are always brought into it, and what age you have to cater for them in a way.
So the first play of the year is a play that is based on a very well-known, beloved novel by Carson McCullers, who is, I think, one of the great geniuses in terms of novelists of the South. Fascinating woman, died tragically young. The Heart is a Lonely Hunter was published when she was just 23 years old, and it became an overnight sensation. And it was recently, not so long ago, adapted for the stage by another woman, Rebecca Gilman. And that's also one of the things I wanted to make sure that we had female voices in the season. That was important to me as well. And so here we have a landmark Southern novel adapted by a terrific playwright, also originally from the South, although she now lives in Chicago. It's also a somewhat an unusual way to start the year, which I thought was a little provocative, in that it's not a big splashy musical. It's not a comedy. It's actually a drama. It's more of a character study than anything, about a series of Southern eccentrics, and they're all searching to belong, maybe not even knowing what they seek to belong to, but knowing that they want to reach out. And the central figure of Heart is a Lonely Hunter is a deaf man. And he also has experienced a loss. And these various members of this small Georgia mill town gravitate towards him and share of themselves with him. They're all fairly lost souls, but they find in him a warmth and an empathy, and they pour out their hearts to him. And he's a rather tragic figure in some ways, in that his dearest friend has been taken from him, and he is isolated because he is a deaf man. And of course, the bit of the irony is that all these people share their stories with him, and he's deaf. There's something about this piece that resonates with me, in that it seems to indicate that even the smallest act of kindness can resonate in a profound way for people. So I think it's a lovely story to be telling now, and I love the fact that it takes place in the South.
And so how would you follow as moving a piece and as one that people have to listen to very seriously? You follow it with
comedy, of course. Of course. And you led me right there. It's extraordinary that the Rep has done so much wonderful work under Cliff Baker, the founder, and Bob Hupp. Really terrific work. But through all those years, the Rep has never produced a play by Molière, who is one of the great comic playwrights, certainly in the Western canon. Prolific and very, very funny. And it was shocking to me that the Rep had never, of course, the Rep has done many classics, but never by Molière. And I thought, well, let's follow Heart with something that is lighter and yet still sophisticated.
And being Molière, very sardonic and on occasions quite bitter.
Yes. Although I have to admit, the adaptation we're producing is by David Ives, and in some ways, it's as much David Ives as it is Molière. The time period is the mid 17th century, but David Ives has updated. There's still rhymes, but the language is very contemporary, even though it's set in the mid 17th century. And the humor, frankly, is broader than one might expect from a more traditional Molière. So the bones are Molière's, but David Ives has made it his own. It's a little bawdy, which I think will be fun. And I think it'll be a great follow-up to something as sweet and heartbreaking as Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
Yes, no, I can see how that would be. And people could take it as they see it.
Yes.
And that, to follow with that, did you bring your musical in?
Well, and then we're up to the holidays. I was, as I mentioned earlier, I was very aware how important the holidays are in terms of the rep's relationship with the community. So I wanted to have an event, and I hit upon an idea that I trust will work, and that is something the rep has never done before, is mount two productions simultaneously. And the idea being that in the proscenium theater, the 377 seat space, the rep has commissioned a new musical based on the O. Henry story, The Gift of the Magi, which is O. Henry's most famous story and perhaps one of the most famous stories of all time. And it's a lovely story of a young couple, early 20th century couple who are newlyweds and their first Christmas together. They love each other. They don't have much in terms of monetarily, and they struggle with how to do something special for their spouse when they have so little. Beautiful story. And it has been adapted for the stage and made into a musical a number of times, but frankly, I didn't much care for the current adaptations. And so I invited some friends of mine to work on this, and it's conceived as a chamber musical. And what I mean by that is there'll just be four actors in the production, Della and Jim, the young couple, and then a middle-aged couple who will play a variety of roles. And they will be accompanied by a small ensemble, four or maybe five musicians. And it'll be a little gem like the story. The story itself is only about six pages long. And I envision this to be similar, a perfect little gem of a piece, not terribly long, so it'll be very family friendly. And that will be in our proscenium house. And I thought, let's do something across the street in our annex as a palate cleanser to all the saccharine one sometimes experiences at the holiday. And I hit upon the idea of bringing to Little Rock the David Sedaris piece, Santaland Diaries. I think it has been done in a smaller venue in town, but it hasn't been seen in a major production here. It's a one-person piece. It'll be done, as I said, in our annex space or black box space. And it is a semi-autobiographical by the brilliant comedian David Sedaris. And it's the story of his time spent as an elf working at Macy's over the holidays. And this is a piece that's probably more appropriate, I would say, for adults. And I thought it would be a great companion piece to the family-friendly Magi. In addition to which, as part of this Christmas, this holiday event, we are inviting choirs from all walks of life from Little Rock to join us to sing in the lobby before performances of Magi. And I'm hoping we have elementary schools and high schools and college choirs and community choirs. And it's Christmas and music are so intertwined in my mind. And I thought it would be a lovely way to open the doors and really welcome the community in to have community choirs sing before performances.
Now, have you designated a particular member of your staff to do all the inviting and arranging?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There are two staff members working on this. There are quite a number of performances of Magi, so there will be plenty of opportunities. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking this would be a really wonderful evening. We've programmed Santaland Diaries in such a way as on the weekend you could come at 6:15 or 6:10 to the rep and hear a choir in the lobby sing holiday music and then go in and enjoy Magi in the proscenium theater and then perhaps send the kids home and have a couple of drinks in Foster's and go across the street and enjoy a late performance of Santaland Diaries. So, and all of that, Santaland is fairly brief as well as Magi. So that would be a 2.5-hour tour, 3-hour tour.
So you could turn one off to the other, as it were.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I went to two of the Black Box one acts, and I liked them very much. I liked the setting, and I liked the way it sort of held together when you were right on top of the actor.
Yes, it's exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Was that an Iliad with Joe Graves? Is that?
Yeah. So anyway, that sounds as though it takes up most of the holiday season.
Oh, I think it's very much going to be a special time of year at the Rep with a number of productions and choirs singing live in our lobby.
Yes, a lot of people to enjoy it and maybe come in and see the show.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that would end in when, January?
And end of December. They both will close. Our Christmas repertoire, as you might say, mm-hmm. closes on December 24th with a matinee at 2 o'clock.
My guest is John Miller Stephanie, explaining his choices for Arkansas Rep's 2017-18 season. You're not going through to the new year the way sometimes they've done.
No, ma'am.
So then you pick up on what?
Well, I really wanted us to bring to Central Arkansas a play that was recent and that was thought-provoking and a premiere, an area premiere. A terrific playwright by the name of Tanya Barfield, and she wrote a play called The Call that was premiered off-Broadway maybe 2 years ago. It's a fascinating play. It's a play that will start a lot of discussion, and I love plays that actually invite discussion. This play is about a Caucasian couple who are late 30s and want a family, and unsuccessful on their own, and they decide they're going to adopt. And at first they look into domestic adoption and are disappointed with the adoption proceedings. They hit upon the idea of adopting an infant from Africa. And they go through the process. And the wife, in particular, is very eager to have a baby. It's important to her to have an infant. And they get word from the agency in Africa that they've been matched to a child. And the child is 2. And they get a photograph of the child, and the child looks more like 4. Their neighbor is a man who was born in Africa. And he has opinions on this. So it's a wonderful plot in that it invites, from a very personal point of view, some larger questions. First world expectations versus third world expectations. Also questions of race. And then the very personal question of where is there a proper impulse for parenting? What is that? So it's a fantastic play that I think works on a number of different levels that will get people in here in Little Rock thinking and talking.
And insofar as the wife had said specifically a baby and wasn't even offered a baby, how does she take that?
Well, at first, I don't want to give anything away, but I think at first she's very much taken aback. And it really calls into question her motivation for parenting and expectations. And as I said, it's interesting when you put a first world problem next to a third world problem. And you realize how lucky those of us in the first world are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if their luck is not quite as they consider luck,
mm-hmm.
they have to learn from that as well.
That's right.
And what they do, reciprocating, one hopes, a situation that's seeking something, and they can react to that positively.
We're all citizens of the world. And I think that is something that is becoming clearer every day. And following that is the big musical. Mamma Mia is an international sensation. It is a piece that was, I believe, premiered in London in 2009, perhaps. Anyway, it took London by storm, and then it moved to Broadway, and it was a huge hit in New York as well. And it's a celebration of ABBA music. And I happen to love ABBA music. I will admit I am very fond of all kinds of music, including pop music. And you just can't help but love those tunes. They're earworms, aren't they? I mean, you hear an ABBA song and you can't get it out of your head.
Well, I have to confess that I've never heard any of the music.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, ABBA was a super group of its time and had one huge hit after another. And this is what is commonly referred to as a jukebox musical. Mm-hmm. So it takes songs from the ABBA catalog, and the story strings these songs together. It's quite a fun story.
What's that word you use, ABBA?
ABBA, A-B-B-A, is the name of the group.
Okay.
Right, that's the name of the group, and they were a very popular pop group.
In England?
Well, actually, they are Swedish.
Swedish, okay.
They're international sensation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But originally Swedish, and had hits around the world. Disco pop music. And this particular musical takes some of their biggest hits and strings it together with a fun story. It's set on a Greek island. And I don't want to give too much away, but I bet, even though you don't know the show, my guess is many of your listeners do.
And I may well know the music without realizing.
Oh, you'll know it. You'll know it. If you were alive in the 70s, you'll know it.
And what sort of musical accompaniment does that music
have? It'll have a full pit. And that's one of the things that's so great about The Rep is we have some wonderful musicians work for us, and it'll all be live music, just like Magi will be live music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's getting us
professional,
mm-hmm. Right? And is that the fifth or sixth? Is that that's not the last show?
Well, actually, that is the sixth. So there's one more to go. We're doing one more than is usual, mm-hmm. Because of Santaland Diaries. The final play of the year is a play called God of Carnage, which is sounds very
ominous.
Brutal, doesn't
yes.
it? It's very funny. It's a comedy. It's another international sensation, now that I think about it, written by Yasmina Reza, a French woman, and adapted by an Englishman by the name of Christopher Hampton, who I'm sure you must know. It was, once again, a huge hit in England, in London, and then played Broadway to great success and has been playing theaters around the world. It's the story of two upwardly mobile couples, and they have each has a young son, and the sons get into an altercation on the playground, and one son picks up a stick and hits the other kid and knocks his teeth out. So the parents they get together to talk about it, and what happens is what is supposed to be an example of very adult conflict resolution disintegrates to the point where the parents are acting far more immature than their young sons ever did. It's very, very funny play.
And that's what you end with.
That's what we end with.
And is there music in that one as well?
It's not a musical. It's a comedy.
What a title, though.
God of Carnage?
Yes, isn't that threatening?
I directed it in Minneapolis. The Rep's production will be directed by our founder, Cliff Baker. I directed a production in Minneapolis, and audiences really love this piece.
Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege of seeing it in New York when it played New York. And then when the rights became available, we snatched it up immediately in Minneapolis, the Guthrie. And I was very happy to direct it there. I just think that Little Rock audiences are going to thoroughly enjoy this piece.
It made me think of Easter, because there were stories in the papers of how badly the parents behaved looking for the hidden eggs.
Oh, right. Right.
Oh, well, parents can be dealt with on occasions. Leave them alone and send them to bed or something. But no, that sounds like a very interestingly balanced season.
I think a little something for everybody. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And now I want to ask you, directors.
Yes.
That is very important for you.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was thinking, with your history of where you've been and what you've done, that you would be or could be delving back into when you were in New York before you ever went to the Guthrie, mm-hmm. when the people there were the same age you were and some of them were very bright mm-hmm. and have gone up and up and up, and you're tempted to go delving into your past as to who you'd like to bring
yes.
to us here.
Yes. I decided I'm going to direct three next year. I will direct Heart is a Lonely Hunter, and I thought I should direct the first play in my first season to choose, because it's a world premiere and my dear friends are writing it. And then Mamma Mia, just because I want to have some fun. So those are the three I'm directing. A colleague of mine from my Guthrie days will be directing Santaland Diaries. And a woman by the name of Giovanna Sardelli from New York, a wonderful director who is trained as an actress, but is now directing and directing very successfully, a very busy woman. I was able to get on her calendar for School for Lies. And I think she's really excited about that because she does a lot of new plays. And I think the idea of doing a Molière adaptation really excites her. And then I very much wanted to invite the Reps founder, who's a dear friend, Cliff Baker, to direct in the first year. And he seemed to have a great interest in God of Carnage. So that's the team.
Well, he's had such fun in the interim before you were settled on of running the Rep and getting the taste for being active within its environment as well. And I think it's just wonderful that he's been rejuvenated in many ways.
Well, he directed a terrific production of Sister Act, I thought.
Didn't he? Oh, yes.
He did a terrific job with that. And I just am so grateful for him. You know, he was the visionary in terms of this community and saw that Little Rock could support a professional theater. And he is just a joy to have in the room.
I know, and I love him dearly. And we came in time for when it was still in the church across the road.
Oh, you
across
did?
Across the park. And when they moved to the new hall, as where they are right now, it just didn't seem the same sort of thing, but it grew on you. And so and does what the Rep has done over the years with their scenery and their musicals and their
dramas. Oh, we have
dramas.
A terrific staff and some wonderful resident designers. And our board is just so supportive. So it's such a pleasure and an honor to be working with everyone there.
Arkansas Rep's Artistic Producing Director, John Miller-Stefani, with the details and insights he has built into his first season. The 2017-18 season opens early with the production of The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, first night August the 23rd, and runs through September the 10th. For tickets, call 501-378-0405 or visit therep.org. And here is an Art Up special. The UAMS Spring Ruth Allen Concert will take place on Wednesday, May the 24th, from 4:30 to 5:30. The program will feature three of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra's principal musicians, harp, Alyssa Coffey, oboe, Leanna Renfro, and English horn, Beth Wheeler. Everyone is invited to this free concert. The location will be announced at the time. And also, Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Monday, May the 22nd, featuring Drew Irvin's violin students, accompanied by members of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, Monday, May 22nd at 7 p.m. in Trinity Presbyterian Church, 4501 Raling Road. All visitors are welcome. And that concludes the program for this week. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.